This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Well, a warm welcome back to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon back once again. We are fully in the swing of things with World Cup action. We're into December. Christmas is seemingly on the horizon, and so is the exciting stages of the World Cup now. Most of the group action is done. We've got a few games left to preview on that later. But Mark, first of all, how's things?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jack. We're more than halfway through now, as you say. And, I'm actually relieved that we've not got these four kickoff slots. It was getting a bit too much for me. I'm not a big Holmes under the hammer fan, nor, this morning. But there was a relief when that was back on rather than, another football match. It's hard to get work done when there's so much good football being played.
Well, I was going to say, I hope my manager isn't listening, because productivity levels were certainly falling off a cliff post 10 o'clock. So at least they've got my full attention until 3 o'clock now. Of course, the competition is maturing, and so are some of the markets. Mark, in terms of sort of outright markets, let's have a look at the teams that have maybe impressed you most so far. I know you were sweet on Argentina in the summer. Maybe the price went a little bit going into things. Netherlands, you were on at the start. They've progressed into the knockout rounds. But in terms of those that have looked really sharp, who are you looking at most at the moment?
Well, I hope this doesn't age badly. Do you know the team I've topped up on is Germany?
Really?
The team I backed them as soon as Japan didn't beat Costa Rica. But maybe we'll sort of get to them within that chat when we talk about Germany. The Costa Rica, of those that are through, I think that France have played some enterprising football when they've got their best team on the pitch. Obviously, I don't read anything into what happened against Tunisia. That was just 11 men just thrown onto a pitch. I mean, Argentina have got themselves into a lovely little bracket of the draw, haven't they? You just can't deny that. Australia in the last 16, Netherlands or USA in the quarterfinals, they'll fancy their chances of beating both of those sides. And so would I. And they look to have found, I think, the rhythm to the team looked much better, I think, in the sort of last, 30 minutes against Mexico and then the game against Poland.
Enzo Fernandez created so many chances against Poland, didn't they?
They did. You know, Enzo Fernandez is in that midfield now, potentially, gives them something that they were missing. I'd spoken previously about the absence of Lo Celso, just linking the play together. They've now got people that can do that. I still have my concerns about them defensively when they play against a real top team, but they're not playing one until the semi-finals, really. So they've got this opportunity to kind of just ease their way still further into the tournament, while all the other big teams have got what looked to be harder quarterfinals, I would say, on the horizon. I don't want to completely rule out the Aussies, but you can't ask for much more than the last 16 game against the Socceroos. So I think Argentina, from where they were when they lost to Saudi Arabia to where they are now, a week's a long time at the World Cup.
I think you can kind of get caught up in those first games, can't you? Because I'm looking at two sides. Argentina, everyone's really down on after that defeat to Saudi Arabia, but if you look at their first half performance in that game, they could have quite easily been sort of 4-0 up. Yeah. And then on the flip side, I was looking at Australia having been beaten convincingly by France in the opening game, thinking, oh my goodness, this could be, on paper, one of the worst World Cup squads we've seen in a long while. But, not much better on the pitch. And then some really strong performances, and suddenly they're through. So it's proof not to get too carried away with those opening fixtures.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you can remember last week, we spoke, didn't we? Tunisia were like 11-10 to beat Australia in that game. Australia had been favourites like a couple of days earlier. Before a ball had been kicked at the World Cup, Australia were favourites to beat Tunisia. They played one game each and Tunisia were into 11-10. And that happened all over the place. Another one that we successfully last week was Croatia and Canada, where people got way overexcited by what Canada did against Belgium, and Croatia went out to a nice price. So I think you do need to just, it's difficult because in a World Cup, you don't get long to make these judgments, do you? You can't say, oh, well, I'll give it a month and we'll see how good they are, because it's over and we're back to the Premier League and we've got there's a Championship game this weekend. So, you do need to react quickly, but I also think you need to keep a cool head and just remember what your thoughts were and what the market opinion was of these teams a week ago. And it doesn't mean that if you lose one game, you're a terrible team. It doesn't mean if you play well or win a game that you're suddenly that great. Saudi Arabia would be a case in point. They actually played well, didn't they, against Poland for 45 minutes, but they didn't play well against Mexico. I thought Mexico really should have beaten them by more, and it was back to the levels that we thought of them pre-tournament. So, yeah, you've got to keep a cool head. Not easy, because, you need to make judgment calls quickly. But, don't throw away everything you thought about a team just because of one performance.
Yeah, balance needed. We'll be discussing all of the teams in length later on in the show, Mark. But just wanted to get your thoughts on the golden boot market. We've got four players at the moment at time of recording tied at the top. We've got Enner Valencia, Kylian Mbappe, Cody Gakpo and Marcus Rashford all on three goals. And then about 412 players on two goals each. In terms of looking at things there, I guess Mbappe's the standout, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And if you look at what France have got next, that game against Poland, I mean, we'll chat about it soon, but you can't ask for much more, really, in the last 16 than a game like that. I think he's a worthy favourite. You're always nervous about backing sort of favourites because a lot can happen in a golden boot or top scorer market. But I do think he's the most likely winner at this stage. I mean, Messi, that missed penalty
could have had a few, really costly.
Particularly for the Messi to win the golden boot, Argentina double. There's a lot of life in that. I mean, Richarlison got his two goals, but Brazil are not creating huge amounts, are they? If you wanted to go for a different Frenchman, because they're playing against the same teams. Giroud is somebody that, he's got a couple of goals and he just always feels like he's in the right place at the right time. But I mean, I think if I was looking at it now, I think that Mbappe is a worthy favourite. I think that France are the team that I would fancy to get to at least the semi-finals. If you get to the semi-finals, you've got that third, fourth place game as well, and so he looks the one to me. I suppose if you wanted to play somebody just absolutely sort of much bigger prices, the German guy Fulkrig, if he starts against Costa Rica, maybe there's an opportunity there for one of the Germans to go crazy and then they're right in the tournament. So if you wanted an outsider, maybe look at him because he's got one goal and there might be more to come.
Still very much wide open, as is the rest of the tournament. Let's head on to our match of the day then, and it's England against Senegal. Well, we've got an exciting Sunday lined up, haven't we? 7 o'clock, England against Senegal in the next round of the World Cup. Then 8-15 England, 13-2 Senegal, 11-4 the draw. Mark, after that 0-0 draw against the USA and then going into the Wales game, and particularly after those opening 45 minutes, I must say I was fearing another 0-0, but it was a fine second half performance from Gareth Southgate's side.
It was. I mean, the opposition weren't up to much. Wales were on their last legs. The players were felt like sort of the big names just weren't able to play those three matches in a short period of time, which isn't a big surprise. They were getting injuries. There's not much depth to that team and they were playing poorly anyway. So if we get all of those reasons and the goalkeeper didn't cover himself in glory either, but England still, you still got to beat these teams. And there's not many sides that are putting six past one team and then three past another. So I think you do need to give England a certain amount of credit. We big questions now to ask in terms of that front three. Rashford put himself forward. You know, Foden, as happens every tournament, there's always one English player that the press are absolutely demanding to see. This time it was Foden. He got his goal. He looked like...
He is exciting, isn't he?
He is exciting.
Yeah.
But there are other players. You know, Saka was exciting against Iran, wasn't he? And, you know, Sterling... I said to you before the tournament started, I wouldn't pick Raheem Sterling. I felt that I would have gone down the Saka and then either Foden or Grealish route, more than Rashford. But, you know, Gareth Southgate trusts Raheem Sterling. So it would be a major call for him to not pick him now for this game against Senegal. If you remember going into the Euros, weren't many people felt that Raheem Sterling should start, and Gareth Southgate was one of the first names on the team sheet, wasn't he? And he came up big for him. And Southgate tends to stick by his players. So everyone says to me, one of them, Foden or Rashford, they've got to start. I mean, I think Southgate, it really doesn't feel to me like he's got to start either of them. It's not the way that Southgate goes about his business, is it? So look, it's good options. Whoever doesn't play is ready on the bench to cause havoc. And whether that's Foden, whether it's Grealish, Saka, Rashford, doesn't, you know, Callum Wilson's looked lively when he's been on as well. So there's good options. And I'm not even worried about Harry Kane failing to score a goal at the moment. You know, from an England fan point of view, let's hope he's saving it for the more important matches. And I still think he's playing well. You know, the assist for Foden. I think he's on three assists now, isn't he?
Yeah, so yeah.
If somebody was putting them balls into him, he'd have the goals. But he's you know, he's a far more creative player these days. So I think there are a lot of positives. The biggest question mark, I think, for most England fans going into the tournament was the defence good enough? And we don't know, because Iran clearly aren't good enough. Wales aren't good enough. And the US have only scored, what, two goals in the tournament as well. So they haven't played against a team yet that can get at Stones and Maguire and sort of test those fullbacks and even Pickford. So that to me is where we'll know a lot more about England, when they actually come up against an attack that you fear.
And Senegal could have some fear in them. Now, let's take a look at their games that they've played to progress into the next stage. So they open up with a 2-0 defeat to the Netherlands, two late goals in that one, Gakpo and Klaassen. They then beat Qatar 3-1, and then a really important victory that sent them through against Ecuador, 1-1, and then a Koulibaly goal to put them 2-1 ahead. Looking at the FIFA rankings, they're actually just one place ahead of Wales. They're 18th in the FIFA rankings. But the headline for them, of course, is that that Mane is injured and won't feature, and so is Idriss Gueye. He's suspended. So a couple of important players missing for Senegal, but the games I've watched them featuring so far, Mark, I mean, they look a fairly tidy outfit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're not, you know, because Mane's not there, they're missing that stardust, aren't they, that, you know, can take a team that's well-organised, durable, robust, and it just elevates you if you've got somebody that can just smash one in from 25 yards or keep the defenders honest. That's often part of it, isn't it? You know, like there's like fear factor of, oh, they've got Mane, so, you know, best not push on the right back, or, you know, left back needs to, you know, or Declan Rice has got to be covering those defenders a touch more than maybe he will do with the team that's out. And that actually helps you defensively because of that fear there. So I think against the Netherlands, that sort of 2-0 defeat was harsh on them. It could easily have finished goalless, couldn't it, that game? They then beat Qatar, which, I mean, you can't read anything into that. I mean, they're absolutely hopeless. And then you get to the game against Ecuador, where I fancied Ecuador. We didn't get to preview that game. If we would have done, I would have tipped Ecuador and been fairly confident about it as well. And Senegal absolutely managed that game perfectly. And that would be, I think, a worry for Gareth Southgate, because Ecuador, I think, were a lot better than the pre-tournament odds suggested. They were an awkward team. And Senegal really gave them a sniff. I know they equalised, didn't they, from the corner. But in general play, I mean, Senegal were definitely the stronger and better team. And they are the African champions. They don't concede many goals. Was it a couple of goals they conceded at AFCON? They had a few nil-nils in there as well. Until the Dutch scored those two very late goals, wasn't a huge amount in that game. So I think if England are to win, they're going to have to work hard to get it. It's not, to me, one of those games like in Iran where you win the match sort of, you know, 6-2 or even the Wales 3-0. This is going to be a battle, I think.
England are a relatively short price, though, Mark. With that being said, what's the bet for this one?
Yeah, I was going to go for draw half-time, England full-time. So, as I said, like Senegal had the 3-0-0s at AFCON. I think that Mane missing, it hurts them in attack, of course. And so I do wonder where the goals will come from. Ismaïla Sarr, he's a talented player, but he is one that still, you know, plays in the Championship. I think he could play in the Premier League, obviously. But even if he was at a Premier League team, he wouldn't be at the kind of level we're talking about where England would be massively concerned by him. But it is pretty much the same defence for Senegal that took them all the way at AFCON. Mendy in goal, Koulibaly at the back. You know, they have a lot of workhorses in front of them as well. So sort of if you're looking for a correct score, maybe something along the lines of a 1-0 England. But I think there's been a lot of draws so far, haven't there, at half-time in this World Cup. This might be another one where we draw half-time and England to, particularly with that quality off the bench, to maybe make the difference at the end.
OK, brilliant stuff. Let's get on to the rest of the World Cup games. Now, I hope you subscribe to Mark Langdon's Bet Club to make sure that you're the first to listen to the new episodes, because you'll need to be quick on the buzzer to be able to listen ahead of the Thursday 3 o'clock kickoffs. We're recording this at about 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll start with Croatia against Belgium. Now, in terms of disappointments so far, I think Denmark you can have in that bracket. Belgium, certainly another who've really failed to deliver in this one. Let's take a look at the group before these games. Croatia sit top on 4 points. Morocco in second on the same amount of points. Belgium with 3. Canada with 0. So no hope of progression for Canada. The rest of them all with a chance. In terms of Croatia against Belgium, Mark, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, so we'll keep these short, as you say, Jack, because they could look very silly by the time most people listen to this. But I'm going to go get a colleague, Dan Charles, has tipped Belgium in the Racing Post today. Don't often go against Dan, but I am on this occasion. I'm going Croatia, draw no bet. Lukaku can't be fit, otherwise they would have stuck him on earlier than they did against Morocco. All's not well in the camp. Vertonghen, Hazard, De Bruyne are involved in a bust-up. And Croatia just ticking along quite nicely. And so, yeah, Croatia draw no bet. I thought that they'd be short price.
Canada against Morocco. I know Canada were one of the sides that you felt were maybe slightly overrated going into the tournament, and they haven't won a single game. But some of their performances have been okay. They take on Morocco here. What about this one?
Yeah, I think they're a big price. I'm going to go Canada draw no bet. I don't think they'll give up, even though they're out. I don't see them, you know, sort of just throwing in the towel. That's not in their nature. It'd be a huge occasion if they were to win a game or even start picking up points at the World Cup. So I'm going to go for Canada draw no bet. They dominated against Belgium. They were outclassed by Croatia, which didn't overly surprise me. We tipped Croatia pretty confidently in last week's Bet Club. Morocco, one of those teams, again, that I actually thought would do well pre-tournament. Thankfully that they are doing that. But now I just wonder if they're being slightly overrated on the back of their performances so far. And let's give Canada a chance to, I was going to say, bow out on a high. That's not, it doesn't quite work like that, does it? To exit with their heads held high.
Superb. Let's move on to Group E, where we've got Spain at the top of the group on 4 points, Japan on 3, Costa Rica on 3, and Germany on 1 point. Now, Japan take on Spain, and we'll preview that one first.
Yeah, so I think Spain to win to nil. Japan did not do as well as the score suggested when they beat Germany. They then lost to Costa Rica. Okay, that was slightly harsh because Costa Rica barely had an effort up until that point. But the fact remains that Japan are not picking their best players. The best players are on the bench, and they bring them on and start looking better once they're there. So, yeah, Spain to win to nil. I think they'll just control most of this game.
So let's take a look at Costa Rica against Germany then. We know that Costa Rica were pumped in their first game against Spain. Germany, I'm not overly convinced on them, but you seem to be, Mark, because you like the look of them in the outright market. And so you're obviously assuming that they'll ease through the group here.
Yeah. Well, that's the hope. They've given that massive boost when Costa Rica scored. You know, they knew that they didn't need to beat Spain. I thought they matched Spain in that 1-1 on Sunday. I think they'll beat Costa Rica easily. They'll go for goals just to make sure that goal difference doesn't become an issue. I honestly think Hansi Flick's got the makings of a strong team there. One of those players is what I'm going for in terms of the first goal here, Musiala.
Oh, he's been brilliant, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. I mean, very frustrating because I tipped him to be the top German goal scorer and he hasn't scored yet. He missed that chance against Japan when he dribbled through loads of players. He had that one-on-one, albeit from a wide angle against Spain. Could have had a couple of goals by now already, but he, as you say, absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I don't see Costa Rica living with Germany. You know, they were hammered 7 by Spain. I think that's much closer reflection of their true ability. And Germany, yeah, I think I've got another selection for them later on in the pod. So I don't want to go all gung-ho on the Germans just right at this moment. But what one I would just say is that the striker that scored, Folkrug, I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show. The reports in Germany say he's not going to start this game against Costa Rica. Just have a look at 6 o'clock or whenever the team news comes out here, because if he does play, he becomes a runner in the Golden Boot at about 80-100 to 1, because he could, you know, get back up to those Mbappe levels by the time that the game's over, and then he'd become undroppable for the knockout stages. So that's one that, yeah, just keep an eye out for that one. And I'd certainly put you off that if he does get the start, which doesn't sound like he will. Sounds like they're going to stick with Thomas Muller. I think that's a mistake. But one thing that's not a mistake is that Musiala, when I said he was absolute quality before the tournament started, that's not a mistake. He is outrageously gifted. Hopefully he can get the first goal.
Feels more important than ever, Mark, doesn't it, to kind of almost wait for the team lineups before you start betting on these games? Because I know a lot of people would have probably had France in their ackers against Tunisia and then ended up fielding basically a second team. So important to kind of wait for the team lineups before you pull the trigger, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that, you know, that feeds into sort of the next batch of games there, doesn't it? Because we've got Portugal against South Korea next on Friday. 3 p.m. And yeah, Portugal have already qualified. Now they're going to want to win the group to make sure they avoid Brazil, but it should be done anyway. So it's a good opportunity, isn't it, for Fernando Santos to start resting players within that Portugal team. Do you then want to be on them to win that game when, you know, it's not the first choice players? They've got good depth, but it just, yeah, it gets messy when you start to see that. I am hoping he makes some changes though, Jack, because I want to see more of Rafael Leao. They've got a Ferrari in the garage that they're just not using, and they're sticking by that vintage Cristiano Ronaldo model that's not quite as good as it was. I claimed that first goal, didn't he? Embarrassing.
I'm really having to kind of keep my anger at bay with Ronaldo. He's just doing my head in at the moment. Like, I've never been particularly fond of him, but particularly in the last month or so, I'm just finding him unbearable.
He is, yeah. I totally agree. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Bruno Fernandes, and so when you're happy that he scored a goal rather than Cristiano Ronaldo, then you know that Ronnie's doing something wrong. But yeah, so Rafael Leao to score the first goal in this game. I just want to see more of him. I think that the tournament deserves to see more of him. And if he does get the opportunity, that very famous commentary of he opened his legs and showed his class or something. words to that effect. When he gets going, you can't stop Rafael Leao. And I think South Korea have to push forward, need to win. The space is there for Leao to hit will be obvious.
Like the sound of that one. So that's South Korea against Portugal tipped off. Let's take a look at Ghana against Uruguay. Another team that I really like the look of going into this tournament, Mark, in Uruguay. And another one that just hasn't quite got going yet.
No, they haven't. I mean, they haven't scored a goal yet, have they? They're the only team in the tournament that hasn't scored a goal. They have hit the woodwork three times. And Bentancur missed that one-on-one against Portugal where, I mean, he'd done so well to get into the position. And then if he scores it, you've got a completely different game against Portugal. They are, I think, just struggling for the right balance. The older guys up there, Cavani and Suarez, haven't done much. To be fair, Nors Nunez, been disappointed with him. They actually looked bright when old Maxi Gomez came on the other night against Portugal. He hit the post. I still think that there is talent in there. Bentancur, player I've seen a lot of at Spurs, is just really he's just getting better every time you see him. Valverde hasn't quite done what he does for Real Madrid. I'm not sure they're playing to his strengths at the moment. But I said when I tipped them as the dark horses that they needed to win the group because you wanted to avoid Brazil. They're not going to do that now, so I don't see them going far. I still think that they can recover enough to win this game against Ghana. It's an absolute grudge match, isn't it? From 2010 when Suarez tipped the ball over the bar on the goal line, gave Ghana a penalty that they in Uruguay won on spot kicks. But I think because of that, it's going to be a tense game. Qualification basically on the line. I see it being low scoring, probably one that opens up as the game develops. So second half to be the high scoring.
Okay, last couple of games then of the group stages. Friday, 7 o'clock. Where should we start with this one then, Mark? Serbia against Switzerland or Cameroon against Brazil? I'll let you have your pick.
Well, let's get the worst game out of the way. First of all, Cameroon v Brazil. It should be a mismatch. Obviously, Cameroon are still in the competition. Brazil have virtually won the group. Be interested to see how many changes Tite makes. I haven't been massively impressed with Brazil so far. Have you?
I like the look of them in the opener. And I think maybe that Richarlison sort of overhead kick maybe softened things slightly because that just sticks in your head. I thought they were not fortunate, but they had to really dig deep, didn't they, to get past Switzerland. I must say, I haven't. Maybe teams are just kind of edging their way into the tournament. Yeah. I'm struggling to find a standout at the moment, I think, because it feels as if every team there's weaknesses in.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, they've obviously been cut since the tournament started, and I don't know. I've not seen enough there. What you would say is that they've not even conceded a shot on target yet. So
is that right?
That's pretty good going, and defensively. Suggest that they're onto a good thing, and I don't expect. I mean, Cameroon, chaotic team, had that crazy 3-3 draw with Serbia, played their full part in it, but yeah, that's not the way I don't think to beat Brazil because Brazil will enjoy those spaces. But I don't think that Cameroon will play like that against Brazil. I think it's one thing to do that against Serbia, quite another to try to do it against Brazil, and I don't think they're silly enough to do that. Brazil have been, in greyhound terms, slowly away in their game so far. So I was looking at draw half-time, Brazil full-time. He's cashed in both of their games at the World Cup. And they kind of progressively got better in those games. And one to throw out there would be Rodrigo, last goal, or first goal, depending. If he starts first, if he doesn't, he's somebody I'd be looking at in play. Big threat when he comes on. And I actually think that Brazil should be picking him now. I don't see the reason not to play him. But just in terms of them opening up Cameroon, we know that Neymar's not available. It's just been a bit of a slog for them. Not that they've ever looked like conceding so far, but it's not like they're creating sort of, 10 chances a game, is it, either?
No, absolutely not. Let's take a look at Serbia against Switzerland then. This also 7 o'clock Friday. Now, Serbia need to win to progress. A draw should be enough for Switzerland to go through. Just trying to do some quick maths in my head there. Serbia were another team, probably along with Denmark and a few others, who at bigger prices were maybe fancied. Again, another side that just I mean, particularly against Cameroon, they should have got that done. Mitrovic had a few really good opportunities. I know he scored, but he should have scored a few more. And to let that slip, you just thought if Serbia are going to go deep into the tournament, they're the type of games they need to just see out.
Well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, I think if you back them, you know, if they win that game, then they're in a better place, obviously. They still might have needed to have won the game, just, you know, who knows how the goal difference would have worked out. You know, I mean, Switzerland are on zero. If Serbia win by one goal, then they're on minus one and still need to beat, you know, Switzerland. So I think that in terms of if you back Serbia outright, I don't think that much has changed, really. You always would have felt that you needed to beat Switzerland. It's almost like a last 32 game before the knockout stage starts. And you then, if you win, you go into the better half of the draw. There's no doubt about that. The way we're looking at it now, it's away from Argentina, it'll be away from Brazil, away from Spain. And then you've got Portugal, a Portugal team that's good, but beatable. And so I think if you're on sort of Serbia as dark horses, you don't give up at this moment, because this is kind of how the tournament was always going to play out, I think, for you. And so, you know, no panic here. I don't see it as. The problem is, for Serbia back as well, it might not be a problem. I like Switzerland to win this game. Simple fact for me was, I thought Switzerland were the more efficient, better-rounded team before the tournament started. Them and Serbia have played two games, and not much has changed. They both played the way I expected them to. Serbia have got better quality going forward. Switzerland are a better defensive team. And I'm always edging in these sort of big matches and knockout games towards the team that can defend better. I just think it's a better quality to have. I don't see, like, Serbia probably not going to create as many chances as they did against Cameroon, but they might give up as many because that's just who they are and how they play. And so, yeah, a draw probably does for Switzerland, but as the game kind of, if it gets sort of blown wide open, then there might be opportunities to hit on the counter-attack. We were talking about a grudge match in Ghana versus Uruguay. This, for different reasons, politically charged, I think it's fair to say, this match. So don't be surprised if it kicks off as the match wears on. And I think you need cool heads in times like this.
Should be an exciting finish to the group stages then. Let's go on to Saturday's games. My birthday, actually, the 3rd.
Oh,
Netherlands. Birthday. Yeah. So I can treat myself to Netherlands against the USA. What more does a man want? You were sweet on Netherlands at the start of the tournament, Mark, but I think having looked at this fixture, the USA won't mind what they're going to be facing here.
Yeah, I haven't thrown the betting slips in the bin, but they're not pride of place on the mantelpiece either at the moment on Netherlands. I haven't been good enough so far. That's pretty obvious. It's not to say they can't improve. Wouldn't be the first team that kind of scabbed their way through the group stages and then got better as the tournament went on. And in theory, this is a nice game for them against the US. But they just haven't done enough, have they? Memphis Depay doesn't look fully fit. They play this sort of formation that I do know a lot about, because Conte does a similar thing at Tottenham, where midfield is just abandoned, really. And you've got these defence and you've got the attack, and you just feel like, hold on, we're not controlling the game here at all.
Is that the intended approach to have a non-existent midfield, or is it just...
I think it is, because what happens is you're defending, you're basically becoming a penalty box team. You've got your three defenders like that and midfield that are there to stop big opportunities coming the way of the opposition, and then you've got those fast attackers to hit on the counter attack, and you kind of just play in the penalty boxes. And it goes against sort of, you know, the way that Man City and before it Barcelona and the way that most sort of successful teams play these way. But I think that there is a consequence almost of the wing-back system, is that it can lead to that style of play. And actually, you know, Louis van Gaal seems pretty content with how things are going for the Dutch so far. He's not making loads of of changes to the team. And you could, if you're looking at it positively, say, well, they've only conceded one goal. That was against Ecuador. They knew a draw was a good result for them in that game. They were 1-0 up, so they were saving energy. And they actually haven't, you know, haven't had to sprint in any of their three games so far. They've just been strolling through. But I tend to just think, well, I'm just not sure if they're that good. And so the US or draw double chance is the way I'm playing this one. You know, there are issues up front for the US. You know, your boy Josh Sargent got injured, didn't he, as well, in the game against Iran. But the fact that he started two of the three games, I think, says a lot, really, about sort of their options in that final third. Anyway, Pulisic, won't go into great detail about his rather painful and eye-watering injury, but that would be...
I think
he
posted an Instagram after, though, didn't he? To say he's good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rather him than me. I'd have, I suppose, problems about sort of where the US are going to score their goals. But what we do know about them is that, you know, in terms of defensively, they've only conceded that penalty so far. They've held an England team that have otherwise scored 9 goals. They're very energetic in midfield. And I just don't see this being a game where I want to back the Dutch at odds on.
Okay. The other game on Saturday, Argentina against Australia. We've mentioned Argentina a little bit already, Mark. So a quick word on Australia, who have done remarkably well to find the next stage of the World Cup. And it was lovely seeing some of the scenes back in Australia, where it was sort of really early in the morning. They seem to have really got behind the national team this year.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I do some work in Australia for Stan Sport on Champions League, and the passion for football is I'd underestimated it. I think it's fair to say, you know, the times they have to get up to what, or stay up, depending on your kind of lifestyle, to watch quality football is absurd, really. You know, I'm not sure I'd fancy it. But, and you know, they're always fighting for coverage. It's behind cricket and rugby league and rugby union and AFL. But those that like it are dead passionate about it. And, you know, I mean, this team, like if you looked at the team in that got to the knockouts, was it 2006? I think it was, where Tim Cahill, Mark Viduka, Harry Kewell, Lucas Neal, Schwarzer in goal. And then, and look at this bunch. It's ridiculous, really, that they've got this far. You've got people playing in the Chinese second division, the Japanese second division, Scottish Premiership, unheralded players.
You know, Harry Suter turning into an absolute man mountain.
I mean, I literally saw a tweet from sort of Tottenham fan account wondering whether he was the solution to Spurs' defensive problems. These are crazy the World Cup is. And, you know, it's been great. They've had 7 shots on target. They've scored with 3 of those, and they've got 6 points from 7 shots on target. So that tells you one side of the story as well, with like fine margins. I don't see them score. I don't see Duke being able to lord it over Argentina. I don't see, you know, Matthew Leckie sort of being able to dribble his way towards another goal. I think Argentina to win 2-0. And, you know, from the point of view, if you remember the pre-tournament long shot of Argentina to win the World Cup and Messi for the golden boot, let's hope Messi can get his scoring boots on and get himself back into it. There's opportunities there, isn't there, to run up, I think, a convincing victory. I think this is one-sided as the betting suggests.
Yeah, hopefully. It feels as if Messi's owed one after that performance.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? He was brilliant.
I was more referring, like, how he didn't score is remarkable, really, in that game. But yeah, some runs in that very reminiscent of sort of, you know, early 2010s Messi. It was a glorious throwback. Your warm-up to the England match on Sunday evening, if you're heading down to the pub, will be France against Poland. Poland have obviously progressed through, Mark, but haven't looked great.
Oh, they've been an absolute disgrace. I mean, they've offered absolutely they've offered absolutely nothing in this tournament. I mean, yeah, they're playing for a 2-0 defeat last night against Argentina, and to not get, you know, at one stage it was on yellow cards, wasn't it? And, you know, they're they're not going into tackle so that they can go through on fair play. I mean, come on. They offered absolutely nothing in that game against Argentina. I mean, they've got Lewandowski up front. Now, look, player for player, Argentina are way better than Poland. But you've got Lewandowski up front. At least try to give him the ball. I mean, they were abysmal in that game. I mean, look at the Saudi Arabia game. They won that one 2-0. They were outshot 16-9, shots on target 5-3, possession 64% to the Saudis and 36% to Poland. I mean, this is outrageous. And even against Mexico, there was only one team trying to win that game. So I hope that they don't go on, because I think that the tournament will be better for seeing other teams. And it's a real shame that Mexico didn't get through, because I think they might have caused France one or two problems. And that would have been sort of better from an England fan point of view. I think France win this game comfortably. I was looking at the minus one as the way to go. If they get in front, or when they get in front, and Poland have to open up, it'll be good night Vienna. As far as I can see.
I did see a few amusing tweets when it was sort of getting down to, you know, yellow cards. And then if yellow cards were tight, it was going to be drawn out of a hat or something, wasn't it?
We nearly got to the drawing of lots.
Yeah, I saw a few people saying that they hope sort of Rod Stewart returns after his his infamous Scottish Cup draw. Right, okay, I think that's all the games rounding off, isn't it? Should we get on some of your best bets?
Yes, please do.
And we'll start with a prop shop for this week, Mark.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's... you know, it's hard to know where we go for this one because of the distorted fixture list in terms of, you know, I was trying to look at one for the knockouts, but nothing really stood out. So I am going to go for one that's being played tonight. So hopefully people listen before then. If you haven't, then you've either missed a winner or avoided a loser. But I mean, I think Musiala first goal each way in Germany against Costa Rica. If he keeps getting into these positions, he's going to take one soon enough. I mean, scoring a lot of goals in the Bundesliga, it's not like he's a bad finisher. Just not happened for him just yet.
Yeah, really excited to watch him again in action. A long shot for the next round of games, Mark.
Yeah, so this is not for the next round of games. Jack, I think, you know, I always like to be very honest. You know, and I put up the bets that I did at the start of the tournament. I've added one already. It was at slightly bigger prices. I was back in Germany before they did the game against Spain. But I still think that Germany, to win the World Cup, I've topped up on them. I don't see that many weaknesses in the team.
What price are we looking at with Germany?
Well, they're sort of 12, 14 to 1 now. Okay. They've obviously still got to qualify. But I'm looking at them thinking, I like Hansi Flick, the coach. He's obviously won a treble with Bayern Munich, so he knows what he's doing. There's a slight issue at right back. They haven't got a very good right back, but I mean, you know, most teams have got a weakness somewhere in there. Go to midfield, Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka, Ilkay Gundogan. Then you go a bit further forward, Serge Gnabry, Musiala, Leroy Sané, who's now back to fitness. And you're just asking somebody to score the goals. Is that somebody Thomas Müller? Is that somebody Kai Havertz? Or is it somebody else? Do they manage to do it through midfield? Or could it be, you know, this kind of absolute battering ram of a centre-forward that came on and scored? Falkrug, who came for Werder Bremen, who came on and scored against Spain. But I looked at the game against Spain, and I thought that they absolutely matched a very talented Spanish team. So they've still got to qualify. If they do qualify, they go in that bottom half of the draw, away from Brazil, away from Argentina, away from Spain. I mean, that's where you want to be. And so, yeah, I'm positive on Germany. Again, this could really age badly if they go out tonight. But yeah, I think it's only right that I'm honest with the listener in terms of the bets that I'm placing in terms of the outrights. Because yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be my usual style to back another team when I've already got a couple of runners, but I really don't like the way Netherlands have been going about their business. So
got to go against the grain sometimes, haven't you? And yeah, all makes sense, Mark. How about a treble for these games?
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Argentina to win to nil against Australia. I mean, we've already sort of discussed it, but I just don't think Australia have got that attacking oomph in them to cause any problems. For the treble, we'll go for France to do their thing and just beat Poland rather than the minus one, which I've gone for in sort of the normal bets. And under 2.5 goals in Netherlands against US. Netherlands, for all the problems that they've had going forward, apart from Gakpo's being, you know, the absolute star boy for them, defensively, if you've got Timber, Ake and Van Dijk, you should be pretty strong. So, yeah, we'll go for a knockout treble. I'll do it in chronological order. Under 2.5 goals US against Netherlands, Argentina to win to nil and France to beat Poland.
Brilliant. I like the sound of that. And if you were to have one bet this week, what would it be?
In terms of the matches, Argentina to win to nil against Australia. Look, Argentina had early issues against Saudi Arabia, but the Saudis did score two stunning goals, and it wasn't as if Emi Martinez was having to make save after save. Poland and Mexico have barely got out of their half against Argentina, have they, since? So they are keeping their opponents at bay. I do worry about that Argentinian defence when they come up against a top-level team. As much as I admire the way the Socceroos have gone about their business, they're not a top-level team. So, yeah, Argentina to win to nil. Not a bet I love because, we say it before, it's never won. You have to wait until that final whistle for the bet to win. And even after the final whistle, we had a goal chalked off, didn't we, for VAR, or after the final whistle in France v Tunisia yesterday. So you do have to, it's like 100 minutes these days of agony. But I do think it'll be worth it in the end.
Brilliant. Mark, pleasure as always. What are your plans for the England game? Going out or staying indoors?
I'm doing the Guardian Football Weekly on Sunday evening. So they're wheeling out the big guns for the England game. So I'll have to, no drinking and be fully focused on sort of what I'm going to say on there. So okay. I'm not a big let's get down the pub and chuck a pint over someone's head.
Oh like no, I don't. I really don't understand the pint chucking. I'm a big fan of watching it in the pub, but no. I mean, there's too expensive to throw.
Too expensive. And Jack, there used to be I might sound a bit old now. There used to be a real skill to being able to celebrate a pint in a pub and not spill any of it. And now it feels like it's the other way around. And it also feels very false. I've got a lot of follow a lot of people in Australia, and they've been mocking the England fans for sort of what they consider to be like false celebrations, because England tweeted, "Well, we hope you're enjoying it back home," or something like that, and a video of the beer chucking. And quite a few fans like Aussies going, that doesn't feel real. You know, it's not authentic. It's not a natural way to celebrate, is it?
It's not. It's one of those things. It's fun. I think it was during the Euros, wasn't it? It's fun at the start, and then it sort of ages a bit. Anyway, looking forward to the next game.
A bit like life, Jack.
Well, what a down note to end things up. We'll be back next Thursday with more depressing things to look at. Until then, enjoy the World Cup. Bet responsibly. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. And stay safe. Bye-bye, everyone.